Well, folks, it's great to have Dr. Kirk Elliott with us back again every week providing updates. So appreciate you. Remember, you can go andweknow.com/gold. Below this video, click on that link. You can have the same conversation, ask questions from Dr. Kirk Elliott and his team, and they will be available for you, especially when it comes to precious metals and your IRAs. Absolutely amazing what he's done for my family and what he's doing for updates every week, especially in this strange time that we live in. So welcome back.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, some great times. We've got a great election happening. President Trump keeps reminding us November 5th is going to be the greatest day ever. But in the midst of all that, the enemy's trying to create chaos. I believe a lot of it has to do with the financial side, too. They really, really can't stand us at all. And they want to take away our freedoms. They're doing all they can to control us. And we have a new added few things that you have to share today. And one of those, I believe, is this one here, CBDC. Hopefully, they will amend this bill and still let the digital dollar free. So somehow, people are getting their hopes up with the Federal Reserve Bank shall not, have the CBDC added in. And do we have that right? Or
yeah, I mean, that's that legit. That's what the bill was. Or is, I shouldn't say it was, it passed the House. So there's people on, our side of the fence, politically, religious, think, Kirk, this is fantastic. This is really good. Look, things are great. Things are happening and the House passed a bill that said the Federal Reserve can't issue a central bank digital currency. We're going to be in the free and clear. It's like, wait, no. I wish it were that friendly, right? Because I actually think that this bill, from appearances, sounds like a good one, but I think it's meaningless. It really has no teeth, in the sense of if you read the actual bill itself, what does it say? So it says in Section 13, a Federal Reserve Bank shall not offer products or services directly to an individual on behalf of the individual and actually issue a central bank digital currency. It's like, sweet. But who can't? The Federal Reserve can't. See, LT, you and I have been talking about central bank digital currency for a year because it's huge. I think it's the mark of the beast. But it's not a U.S.-centric thing. It's not a European-centric thing. It's not a Japanese-centric thing, right? This is a global bank. So to me, I don't care if the Federal Reserve can't issue a central bank digital currency based on this because the IMF will, or the World Bank, or the Bank for International Settlements. I think central bank digital currency is going to be a global currency, not something that's individualized to each country in its end form. So to me, this is kind of meaningless. But let's play it out even a little bit more, which is why I think it's just window dressing in political theater. So it passed the House. Then what has to happen? It has to pass the Senate. So let's give a few different narratives here. So let's just say that the Senate says, no, we're not going to legalize central bank digital currency. Well, then we still have CBDC, right? But let's say that the Senate passes it and they agree with the House. Then it has to go to the president. And what's the president going to do? He's probably going to veto it. But let's just say central bank digital currency. But let's say he ratifies this thing and makes it illegal. So this is where I say, okay, end result, we're still going to have central bank digital currency, just not offered through the Federal Reserve. It'll be through one of the non-governmental, banking institutions globally, like the BIS or something like that. Because here's the thing, 98% of the countries now, LT, around the world have already gone down the path of accepting central bank digital currency. Visa, MasterCard, the SWIFT system have interbank operating, characteristics now where they can communicate with each other to accept all these other bank, issued digital currencies from all over the globe into a centralized global holding tank. Right. So to me, this bill, and I don't want to, give up hope, right? I'm not. because God's still in charge.
Right.
But this to me is just political theater. So politicians can say, look, we are fighting this thing. We really were. You should vote for us. We don't want your freedoms to go away. But what's bigger than this is there are people that are rising up, like Norway, for example. So Norway just passed a bill like earlier this week that said they're not going to outlaw cash in Norway, like most of the other European countries are. People, if they want to go to a grocery store or any store and pay cash, you can't say no to offering a good or service.
Right.
So people still want to use cash. It can run parallel to a digital currency. See, this is where God always gives his kids a way out, right? He's going to give us options. Didn't necessarily, it was going to say it was going to be easy to reject this mark of the beast type system, right? Because what if your government pension, your retirement, your social security is attached to it? It's like, well, you've got to take this digital money if you want to get your payments. It's like, well, what am I going to do? Right. Mm-hmm. So they're going to make it difficult,
right?
But there's going to be parallel systems. Just like we've talked about in the past, there's numerous states, like 13 of them, that have already passed gold and silver as legal tender in those states. So things are starting to happen. But you know, as I was thinking about, something, and I was reading the Old Testament, and you know the story of the seven fat cows and the seven lean cows, right? In Genesis 41.
Right. Yeah.
So, Joseph, Pharaoh had this dream and Joseph interpreted it, right? So I was reading it and I want to read it here because apply it to today, right? The same principles, the same feeling of what's happening, because to me, all of this, like literally everything that we are seeing is to break the will of the people, right? I think that's what these governmental institution, the globalists are wanting. They're wanting to break the will of the people in the sense of, you know, there was headlines earlier in the week how they're going to have surveillance on all chicken farms, right? And so, man, there's this new avian flu and it's going through and they're killing off all these chickens all over the country because they're afraid it's going to spread from, you know, birds to humans, right? And it's the next pandemic and it's just awful. And here's where Biden already gave up his sovereignty as the sovereign leader of our country to the World Health Organization.
Right.
See, the WHO, the World Health Organization, under a state of global health emergency, can shut people down from opening up a bank account. They can shut them down from travel. They can shut them down from buying or selling things. They can instill shelter in place laws. See, and all of the 192 member countries to the World Health Organization have to abide by some guy who's the head of the World Health Organization. It's like, why in the world would a president give up his sovereignty as the leader of a country? Mm-hmm. Well, we did, right? So here's where it break the will of the people. You can't eat food. You can't eat meat and you're going to like it, right? Just like the goofy mayor of New York, you know, giving a speech 2 weeks ago stating, well, the worst thing for carbon emissions outside of like construction and vehicles are cows. It's like, what? He's saying that cows fart? I mean, why is meat actually the worst things for carbon? You know, it makes zero sense, but yet so they want to outlaw meat. You've got the 15-minute cities that we've talked about, right? So Oxford, England. The next one that's on the list is Edmonton, Alberta in Canada. You know, so in Edmonton, they're now separating it into being the first major city that's all a 15-minute city within 15 districts. And they're going along the same line as what Oxford did and saying, if you want to leave your district, you got to have a permit, right? It's like, what in the world? This is not the Hunger Games. This is like modern day world, right? So fear, if you instill fear in the hearts and minds of people, if you break people's will that, you know what, you've got a disease, you can't travel. These chickens have disease, you can't eat them. Boy, this carbon emissions, this is really bad. No more cars for you. California is actually considering a mileage tax.
Correct.
So, I mean, are you joking?
Yep.
So what do they want to do? They want to get rid of cars, and they're making it so extreme. I think it's like a dollar for every 3 miles or something crazy. Correct. Like, it's really Correct. Expensive tax.
Yeah, they put in a device in your car to track you and to make sure you pay up.
Yeah. So brake constant, this thing, that thing, you know, all these things, disease and financial collapse and banks failing. And now there's wars and rumors and wars and all these things. It's like you're breaking the will of the people. And so as I was reading through Genesis 41, it reminded me of that. And there's this one verse in that. So the story, you know, your listeners are going to be very, very familiar with this story. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, and in his dream, he said, he stood on the brink of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 fat fleshed and well-favored cows, right? They were nice cows. And then after that came up 7 of the most ugly, thin, sick-looking cows ever, right? And it's like, what does this dream mean, right? And so the sick cows ate the fat cows, and they didn't actually change their shape. Like they ate the whole fat cow, but they still stayed skinny and ugly and thin and like the ugliest cows ever. But the big fat cows are gone. So, you know, it's years of plenty, years of favor, followed by years of famine. But the famine that ate the fat cows didn't change in their appearance, right? It's like, so the interpretation of the dream is people ultimately didn't remember the good years and how good it was. I mean, this is where I'm paralleling this to today, right? And I know it was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, but the story holds true today as well. You have people forget. It's like the microwave generation, right? It's like, just like the Israelites all the time. And you read through the Old Testament and think, boy, those Israelites were stupid. Why did they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again? Why did they forget God's blessing? How did they forget that he parted the Red Sea? How did they forget that he brought them out of Egypt? How did they forget that he brought manna down from heaven and fed them when they had no food in the wilderness, right?
Right.
But yet they forget, and they started worshiping idols. See, this story of the 7 fat cows and the 7 lean cows, by the lean cows eating the fat cows and they didn't change appearance, means that the famine, the hunger, is going to eat away the good years, and people won't even remember the good years because it got so bad. I mean, this is where I see where the globalists want us today is in this, where money is a thing of the past. Personal freedom, financial freedom, religious freedom, that's a thing of the past.
Right.
And people get so used to this government intervention and this overreach that they forget, right? So in the end of this, you know, in chapter 41, it said, then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered because the famine that follows it will be so severe. I mean, is this a parallel to a prophecy that God gave for a different time and place? Because people forget. Right, people forget all the good things, and we forget to have gratitude and remember the amazing things that God delivered us from through Jesus. Right, and so anyways, a little bit of a side rabbit trail there, but as I'm looking at this financial mess that we're seeing, there's so much fear, LT. There's banks that are failing, and there was this article that I saw. From the CEO of the second largest bank in Russia. Okay, so what did this guy say? Now, granted, he's just a banker, right? But it would be the second largest bank in Russia. That would be like Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan Chase almost. Like, it's like, who does he talk to a lot? The president, right? Because it's one of the largest banks in North America. Same thing with this guy. And he knows what Putin wants to do. He wants to de-dollarize the world. He's very well informed on all of that. And so here's his quote. He said, I am thoroughly convinced that America is inevitably headed for a serious economic crisis. The amount of debt currently held by the U.S. today has reached inconceivable astronomical levels. And the dollar's monopoly on a global stage is the only thing enabling the Americans to maintain such a level of debt. So then here's the big if statement. He said, if the Chinese or the Arabs took their money out of the U.S., a complete collapse would ensue for the financial sector and the government. And if the West fails to revise its policy, I think that the move toward the collapse of the colonial system will only accelerate. It's like, okay, what did he just say? What's the colonial system? It's the American way of life, right? So what is a complete collapse that would ensue for the financial sector and the government? He's talking about the government collapsing. He's talking about banking collapsing. And what it's going to take? The Arabs and the Chinese dumping their U.S. treasuries. They're already doing that. Right. You know, the BRICS nations already said no to the petrodollar. They're going to just use their own currencies. And what they want to do is use their own BRICS native currency, you know, have a central bank with only BRICS, you know, rather than having the ruble and the yuan and the, you know, the dinar and whatever else is part of the, and the rupees part of their BRICS nations. They just want one currency, call it the BRIC, whatever they're going to call it.
Right.
That's what they want to do. They want to de-dollarize the world. This banker in Russia knows that. He knows their plan, right? And he's talking about a complete collapse that would ensue for the financial sector and the government because the way of life would change. So as you look at some of these things, it's like, LT, the Bible is so clear on God's view of money. You know, it's not... Money isn't evil. The love of money is evil. It's when people worship money rather than using it for good, when they're takers rather than givers, when they worship money rather than what it can do for the good of humanity, right? I mean, this is the problem with money. And so the Bible is very clear on what happens when we go down this road where we use debt to acquire even more debt. And we get in this pickle, and a borrower is a slave to the lender. And at that point, you lose your freedom. And if you lose one freedom, LT, you lose all of them. You know, if you lose your religious freedom, who cares about your political freedom and your economic freedom, your personal freedom, right? But if you lose your political freedom, you're ultimately going to lose your religious freedom, your economic freedom. See, they're all intertwined.
Right.
And they're connected at the hip because God puts all leaders in authority, right? And if they're not acting in a way that follows him, well, they're ultimately going to be ousted. But there's consequences to every decision, either good, best blessing and benefits or bad curses and bad choices. You know, the wages of sin is death. So you're looking at all of this stuff happening, and the fabric of the world is changing overnight. Right. And we look at this and we say, okay, what is the solution? Well, the solution's always Jesus. I mean, you without faith, I don't know how people in this world actually get by without Jesus right now. It's that bad. Right. So the other stuff that's happening, we talked, was it last week or the week before, about how that economist in Russia wanted to peg 1 gram of gold to a barrel of oil, right? Because what's that going to do? If you do that, you're going to actually get rid of the dollar. It's part of the de-dollarization. And now it's not the dollar and oil that are attached. It's right. Gold and oil that are attached. Hmm. Well, who does that benefit? That benefits China, who owns 30,000 tons of gold.
Correct.
If all oil settlements in Russia are going to be there. And so the warning that we had given when we were talking was, boy, stinking Biden, he actually depleted the strategic oil reserve, right? And so if they have to repurchase with Russian oil that's going to be pegged to 1 gram of gold, oof, gold's going to start to go up a lot, right? So, but that's de-dollarizing. That's taking away the petrodollar. But here, what did Biden just do? I mean, literally. This week, the bill H.R. 4366, it's like this stupid 1,000-page bill. I mean, it's massive. But in there, the strategic oil reserve for the northeast part of America depleted to zero. They authorized the depletion of zero and then shutting down that pipeline and that reserve. It's like, what in the world are they thinking? I mean, and Congress passed it. So what they wanted to do – They wanted to deplete it, to bring it to zero, to add like 3 days worth of oil supply in America before the summer months when people want to travel and they think, oh, this is going to lower the price of gas and people are going to be excited about it, right? Yep. In election year. But yep. It's like 3 days worth to do something so stupid and deplete our reserves when we're going to have to buy them with what? BRICS countries oil, because 6 of the 9 largest oil producers in the world are part of the BRICS nations. So Biden depleted it. We're going to have to redo it with OPEC nations oil. And what's part of now that? The possible next step that they're going to peg 1 gram of gold to a barrel of oil. This is going to cause the acceleration of the pendulum shifting moment of power and wealth from the West to the East. And we're playing a very bad game of this thing. And they're doing amazingly well. I hate to say it, but the BRICS nations are actually winning this game, if that's what you want to call it, because they're strategically thinking about it, right? So another thing that I was thinking about, did a lot of thinking over the weekend, over Memorial Day. We had an extra day, right? So it's like, why do we have inflation? You know, the obvious answer is because they're printing money to fund every stimulus under the sun, and they're trying to keep the economy afloat because U.S. consumers aren't spending, right? Because they can't. They have to print money to give people stuff, to raise the debt ceiling. They have to raise interest rates to slow down that inflation. But the government, here's the thing. The government wants inflation. They need inflation because we have $34 trillion worth of debt. So here's my theory. You've got that much debt. If you print money, it devalues that currency. They're paying off that debt with cheapened dollars, right? That's what they want. So don't think for a second that they don't want inflation because they have too much debt. You need a devalued currency through inflation to pay off the massive amount of $34 trillion worth of debt that we have, because we can't even afford to pay it off with regular dollars, let alone with more money that they print out of thin air. They need inflation to persist. So here again, political theater, window dressing, when they talk about lowering the interest rates, you know, and boy, we've won this battle on inflation. They can't raise too much and they can't lower too much. They're really in a pickle, right? Because you raise rates too much and you kill the economy with a massive recession. You lower interest rates too much and you create even more inflation, which ultimately that's what they want, right? So this is the problem that we're seeing moving forward is I think we're stuck with inflation, LT, because this is truly what the government needs to pay off their $34 trillion worth of debt. The solution, what goes up with inflation? Things do, right? Gold does, silver does, bicycles do, cereal does, vegetables do. Things go up with inflation. And this is where we can now start to re-envision our finances, repurpose our finances, you know, by saying, what do I mean by repurpose? It's like, you've got this money that a lot of times is just sitting on the sideline in cash,
right?
Because you want to get away from the stock market. Say, Kirk, I've heard you and LT talking and the stock market stinks and I'm just sitting on the sideline in cash. It's like, well, sadly that cash is getting you like 4% and inflation's hovering around 18%. You're losing money by sitting in cash. Right. So move it into something that's going to grow with inflation because we're in an inflationary world. But it's bigger to me than that. This is way bigger because when you allocate into the strength of a tangible asset, you actually have something that could be barterable, something that's private, something that maintains your financial freedom, your religious freedom, your economic freedom, your personal freedom, and ultimately your health freedom, right? So to me, it's more than just an investment, which as an investment, silver's on a tear. I mean, it was 10 weeks ago, it was $22.50 an ounce. Today, it's 32 and a half. Literally, it's up like almost 45% in 10 weeks. This is insane.
Yep.
And so I'm not saying that trend is going to continue on forever.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that trend is here now. Right. And we should just take advantage of that because I think the worse the world becomes, the more fear there is, the more chaos and turbulence. God provides answers. And I don't have the answer for politics. I don't have the answer for your personal relationships other than Jesus, right? But financially, I think this is a really good solution because it gets you out of a digital currency. It gets you out of certificates. It gets you out of paper that's easily manipulated,
right,
into something that's growing.
Right. And they could do that through you guys, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, you can just call us 720-605-3900. Just say that, you know, you heard me talking on LT show, or your link that you have on each and every one of these shows.
Right.
And so you can go there, and here's how the process works, right? So you'll call in. My amazing schedulers will just say, you know, what was it that Kirk and LT were talking about that caused you to want to reach out? We want to hear your fears. We want to hear your concerns. We want to hear your dreams and your goals, all of it. Hmm. Right. And then we'll get you with one of our consultants who will actually, you know, drive a little bit deeper and figure out what kind of assets you want to move and why, and, you know, get you on the same page thinking, okay, I need to protect this. I don't need to protect this, but we'll help you craft out that strategy for success moving forward using precious metals to do so. Right. And then after that, my team does the rest. It's just a quick little form that you usually have to fill out, and then we'll move the assets over you. You wire the funds. We call you and the funds arrive. You confirm the allocation, and that's where our journey together begins. Because, you know, most firms in this world will sell you something and then forget about you until they have something else to sell you. Right. So to me, the transactions are necessary, but they're like the necessary evil. You know, you have to buy to get into a trend. You sell to get out of one. But life happens, LT, in between the bookends of those transactions. That's the important piece to me, because if you're in the right place at the right time, but you don't understand why, you're still going to be like all stressed and have anxiety about it. But when you're in the right place at the right time, which we'll help you with, and we educate you to know why we're doing it, now that financial anxiety starts to melt away. And this is truly what makes us different than other firms in the industry, is that plus we don't charge anything when you liquidate.
Right.
Whatever the depository pays, you get it all. So that's how the process works. It's really quite simple. You just call, set up an appointment. We'll craft a strategy for success. And we want to make the transition easy, the burden light, and we'll help you through every step along the way.
Yeah, it's very simple, folks. AmWeKnow.com/gold below this video. Amazing update today, Dr. Kirk Elliott. Really appreciate all your time and effort and supporting all of us. And it just feels like when we call your team, we're helped individually as if we're family, and that's what you did for us. And we sincerely appreciate you and what you're doing in this time of turmoil, especially going through our nation. So thank you so much, folks. Again, andweknow.com/gold. Reach out to them today. Thank you so much, Dr. Kirk Elliott, again, for your time.
You bet. It's my pleasure. We'll talk soon.